when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain subjects that you will find in many passages of the Bible. When that's the case, each subject, even though it's found in many different passages of Scripture, there is a main thought in each text for that broad subject. That's the case here. The subject is child rearing, which you will readily recognize is found all over in the Bible. But in each of those texts dealing with child rearing, there's a main thought. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is no exception to that. The main thought of this verse is that the instruction of children is full time. There's an all-comprehensive nature to it. That's what we hear about this morning. This charge to the instruction of our children is found in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell address to the people of Israel. It's not going to be very long now until Moses dies. Children of Israel are preparing to go into the land of Canaan. And so here's this farewell address. Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 4 are a looking back on the past, some of the past history. Then the latter part of chapter 4 until chapter 26 is Israel's calling according to the law, which is laid upon them. That calling is laid upon them. And it is Israel's calling according to the law that is laid upon them, that calling that we study this morning. That's where we find our text in that section of Deuteronomy. The chapter begins with this verse. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now, our text this morning looks at that specifically from this point of view. That law of God, teach it full time, parents, to your children. Let's hear this under the theme, a charge to full time instruction. A charge to full time instruction. First, instruction, the content of it. Second, instruction, the imparting of it. And third, instruction, the charge to it. Content, imparting, and charge. The content of the teaching that we impart to our sons and our daughters is given in verse 7 in the word them. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. If you were to ask what them refers back to, you have to jump a verse back to 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Them goes back to these words. If you still ask the question what these words refer to, you have to go back a couple of other verses to 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verses 4 and 5 are the them of the text. Here's the content of the instruction we give our children. Part of what we teach them, therefore, is verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Which is to say, Jehovah is one, unified in himself. He's not divided into parts. His perfections or his attributes in him are not in conflict one with another. In fact, if God was divided into parts and if his perfections were in conflict with one another, not only would he be a chaos and a confusion, but he would not any longer be God. He's one in himself, and all those perfections are unified in him. In fact, God is his attributes. God does not just love. He is love. Doesn't that tell us already what it is that we ought to be teaching our children? It's not, first of all, that we teach them to love the Lord, although that's so important, and we'll get to that. And it's not, first of all, that we address the behavior of our children, although that's essential too. But our instruction is theological. It's God-centered. We come to our sons and our daughters and we say, this is Jehovah. This is who he is. The God, we say to our children, who is so beautiful. Look at all his perfections, his love and his grace and his mercy and his justice. That kind of instruction given to children is not only theological, but it's biblical, it's deep, it's meaningful. That's where it begins. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's unified in himself, but this too, he is God alone. God alone. He's not one God out of many. He's not the most powerful God out of many gods even. He's the only God. And even though there are these heathen men in countries of the world that take this object and they say, this is a God, in reality, we know very well that's not a God at all. God alone, only true God, which is meant by, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You understand, that's the theology behind the first commandment. We heard it this morning, thou shalt have none other gods before me. Prohibited is idolatry. All these other things, they're just idols. There's only one true God. He's Jehovah. And it's that first commandment that forbids idolatry, which is foundational for the whole rest of the law, all 10 commandments. When it comes to the teaching of our children, the first commandment and the principle behind it, Jehovah is the only one true God, is fundamental. The parents in Israel understood that well. Here, all these heathen nations around them, the temptation for the Israelites was always, wasn't it, to mingle with these nations, even to come to the point where they intermarry with them, and to take to themselves these idol gods of the nations. How fundamental for the parents always to be putting that before their children. The Lord our God is one Lord. Don't take to yourself these idols. He's the only true God. When it comes to the instruction, people of God, that we bring to our sons and daughters, that's the content of it. He's Jehovah. He's God alone. And when we look at the sins of our children from day to day, we recognize this too. At root in all of those sins is really idolatry. Whether it's our children themselves, that they make themselves an idol or some toy or some relationship. when a 16-year-old who has just obtained his license, when his parents ground him from the use of his car for 2 weeks, and after he's informed of that by his parents, he stomps through the house, he slams a couple of doors, and he goes into his room. Father quietly follows him into his room and says, "Son, this isn't just about anger or the fact that you don't have your car. You've made your car an idol." When our children get a little bit older, to the high school and college years, we're always setting forth this antithesis before them when it comes to their dating and their marrying. Don't date and marry a heathen man or woman of the world and take to yourself the idols of that person whom you marry. Live antithetically. That's the first commandment. Jehovah is God alone. You see how foundational this is for all the instruction we give our children. And then positively, trust in Him, worship Him alone. That's our teaching. Part of the instruction we give to our children, the content, the Lord our God is one Lord. But another part of that content is verse 5 now. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Here is the essence of the law. We heard the Ten Commandments this morning. They're found in just the chapter before this, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Those Ten Commandments, the essence of them, here's the summary or the very center: love the Lord thy God. This is obviously a very important part of the instruction we give to our sons and daughters too. Love Him. That love is literally a breathing after Jehovah. Such intense desire for the Lord. That's love. Psalm 42 speaks of this rather descriptively, verses 1 and 2. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's love. Psalm 73, verse 25. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." There's love. It's that desire for God. With all your heart, your soul, and your might. Without getting into all sorts of details here, let's just be content to say that heart, soul, and might is everything that is within a person. Love the Lord thy God with all that is within you and all that you are. That kind of love. And not just externally, not just what shows up on the outside, but this is deeply internal. Your heart and your soul, from deep within, this love wells up. When it comes to what you and I are teaching our children, that too is so foundational. Don't we tell them that all the time? Children, it's not about, first of all, what people see on the outside. It's not, first of all, about dad and mom listening to them and pleasing a teacher at school. But we tell them, this kind of love for the Lord is something that comes from deep within. It's first of all hidden. And it will, we tell them, come out on the outside. It will. You breathe after Him with all that you are. In connection to that, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, might. Something that we may never fail to teach our children is redemption. When you back up and you look at the big picture of the book of Deuteronomy, that's what it's all about. Who are these people? The children of Israel to whom Moses is speaking. Those who have been delivered by God out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt. Look at the previous chapter, Deuteronomy 5, right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's what the Israelite parents were always bringing before their children. Look, this is our history. We've been powerfully rescued from that bondage of Egypt. The Lord has put his love in us, children. He's made us his willing and cheerful servants. And you love him with all your heart, soul, might, in thankfulness to him. That is precisely, just as really and as personally, what we bring to our children as they did those thousands of years ago. We come to our children and we say, you have been redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been purchased with a price, high price of his blood. We say very personally to our children, God has put his love in you. And he's made you his willing and cheerful servants. In thanksgiving and gratitude to Jehovah your Redeemer, love him with all that is in you. That is the instruction we give them. Lord our God is one Lord. Love that Lord. And so we take that content and we impart it to them. We communicate or teach it. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them, those words, teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and so on. What strikes you immediately about this imparting of instruction is that it is indeed verbal. Teach it, talk of it. Sometimes parents say, maybe the men especially, I'm not really that great of a communicator. I don't like to talk that much. And when it comes to teaching of my children, I know that I should, but I don't speak to them. But I do live the example of my life before them, and that's powerful. I know that. But it may not be that as fathers and mothers, yes, our example is powerful, how we live before our children, but also it must be verbal. Let us teach them with our words. That's the text. That verbal instruction or the imparting of this truth is said in this way, thou shalt teach them. Literally, thou shalt sharpen them to your children. Think of a sword, very sharp sword, that is used to thrust through a person's body. Or an arrow that's very pointed on the end, you insert it into your bow, you shoot that arrow, and it sinks into or penetrates the object that you've aimed at. Sharpen them to your children. It's like this. We take arrows of instruction, we put them in our bow, and we shoot them at our children. Many times we think of that in a negative respect. You wouldn't want to shoot someone with an arrow. Here it's positive. When you aim at them and you shoot that sharp arrow of instruction, that truth penetrates them and it sinks in. You might think of it this way. It makes a mark. One aspect of sharpening these words to our children, like shooting that arrow, is that we precisely and accurately apply the Word of God to their lives. We know very well, don't we? Our children, their different situations, their different needs. And we shoot that arrow accordingly. When a child is disobedient, that's far different from a child who's discouraged. We take that specific arrow of instruction from the Word of God. We aim precisely at that child according to their need, to their situation. And that's part of teaching these things diligently. We apply them. This imparting is full time. Just read that verse, especially at the end. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There you have four different situations or four activities. When you add them all together, they make up the whole of the day from rising up until bedtime. It's all comprehensive. That's what makes, by the way, the calling of a mother unique and, to a certain degree, the calling of a father. A man can go to work, salary-earning, wage-earning job. He can punch out at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, rather. He goes home and maybe has to answer a few emails or make a few phone calls, but for the most part, he's laid aside his work. But it's not that way for a mother. The children, for some or many, are there all day sometimes. From beginning to end, she's always busy. And to a lesser extent, that's true for the father. Even though he can punch out at work and lay aside those labors, still he comes home and he's busy in the home with responsibilities there with his children. It's full time. But that full-time work, there are warnings there, aren't there? That we not leave the teaching of our children to the Christian school. As much as we love our schools, don't leave it to them. That we don't leave the teaching of our children either merely to formal times during the day. We sit down in the evening at supper for devotions and we teach them there and we say, well, we'll leave it there. Full time, all day. But there's this warning too, that we not forget to teach our children in the midst of all the pleasures and the riches of this life. That's the warning given in the verses that follow our text. Teach your children full time, and then the verses that follow that say, have the Word of God always before you. But then this, verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What a danger there. We live in such a prosperous society. Some have bigger homes, and we have toys and food and all of that. And that drowns out the instruction we give to our children. Don't misunderstand. full-time teaching, yes, but that doesn't mean every single minute of the day. I think we know that too. That's not realistic. We have our different work, our different callings. We can't be teaching our children every single minute. It's something like prayer. We pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean we pray every single second of the day. We have our work. We're not on our knees all day. But when you get to the end of the day at bedtime and you look back on the last 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours, you say, that was a day characterized by prayer. And that's the same with teaching our children. It's not every minute, but we look at the end of the day and we say, it was a day characterized by the full-time teaching of children. That's the call of the text. That this is indeed all comprehensive instruction is indicated in that word teach. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently. It's not just one arrow that we get out and we shoot, but it's a whole flurry of arrows. And when they hit their mark, indeed, they make that mark. It's like an impression that doesn't go away. And here's an arrow after arrow sinks and penetrates the kind of instruction that makes an impression. It's not forgotten, it's remembered, it's repeated. Diligently teach. There is such an encouragement there for mothers. Do you feel sometimes, mothers in Zion, that sometimes you feel like you're shooting the same arrow out of that bow day after day after day? There's that child. The same sin. And it does seem like it happens every day or at least every week. And I'm getting that arrow of instruction and I'm pointing him to God as perfection, speaking to him about loving the Lord and how the Lord has put his love in him and made him his servant and redeemed, all that. But it seems like never learns, never any progress, always that same arrow. And a mother in such a situation can become rather discouraged and weary in that. Here's the encouragement of the Word of God. Jehovah's will for Christian parenting is repeated instruction, even though it be that one arrow over and over. It'll give you the strength for that too. That such instruction is full time is indicated in the bulk of the verse with when it happens. And it gives, as I said, those different situations, those different times. And we begin at the end of the text, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou risest up. Monday morning, some children get out of bed a little quickly, more quickly than the others. The vehicle or the bus is departing in 15 minutes for school. Mom has hastily set the table for breakfast. Children finally find themselves at the table. But for 10 minutes, the world stops for a little bit. When you as a mother open up the scriptures to your children, before they go to school, put a few arrows into the bow and shoot them. And you say to them as they sit there at the table, children, before you go to school, the Lord our God is one Lord. Trust Him alone. You're worried about that test, we tell them. You're worried about your friends, especially at the beginning of the school year, where you're going to fit in. Trust in and worship Jehovah alone. And shot some arrows, we send them to school. Teach them, talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house. Sunday afternoon, father on the recliner, first, second, or third grader sitting across from him in the living room at home on the couch. Dad has beginner's catechism book open, lesson 4, and he asks, how did John the Baptist die? The child answers, Herod beheaded him in prison. You as a father say, good that you knew it. But he gets his bow ready. He prepares to shoot an arrow. Son, John the Baptist loved the Lord so much that he's willing even to lay down his life, cut off his head. Son, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. Teach them, talk of them, when thou walkest by the way. In modern day language, when you're on the road traveling somewhere in your vehicle, and there's dad again, but this time he's with his older teenage son. It's a Saturday morning and they're going out to some project. He's going to teach his son a few things about work. But while they're traveling in the truck, he finds a golden opportunity. It's just the two of them. Dad doesn't always have this kind of time to talk spiritually with his older son, to get his bow out and shoot a few arrows. Teach them, talk of them, when thou liest down. Now it's the end of the day. Lights are going out. Everyone's going to bed. Mama's there with 7-year-old daughter, kneeling with her beside the bed. And as a mother, you hear your daughter pray, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. She says, amen. Look your daughter in the eyes and you say, you know what you prayed? The Lord my soul to keep. Jesus Christ has redeemed that soul. And he will, by the power of his cross, daughter, preserve that soul. Come what may, even if it is death in the middle of the night, he preserves your soul to glory. Mother shoots one more arrow before she puts her children to bed. That is the full-time instruction of the parent. To that kind of teaching, people of God, we are charged, a command, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and so on. Jehovah charges us, parents, to the teaching of our children. We understand that well enough. It's a command, it's not an option, but that implies that he gives grace. Who is he speaking to? The children of Israel, those whom he has delivered out of Egypt. He's speaking to us as redeemed people. He doesn't say, teach them, talk of them all day long, and then say, you do it. He gives us that grace. When we hear this word, you almost fall down because you're overwhelmed. all day. Bringing that instruction in a specific way that I know for the needs and situations that my children are going through, I need grace. And to whom God gives that charge, He gives that grace. And to the mother who is weary, who feels overwhelmed every single day, it's like standing at the ocean of grace, and here comes another wave, and it washes over her, and another wave. God gives strength for another day. Mothers and fathers, too, God will give that, as He has. Jehovah gives this charge to parents to teach their children. And that tells us also that He's pleased to use us parents as means in His hand for the instruction of these children. Such weak means, absolutely, but means nonetheless. When we're discouraged, when we see such slow progress, we remember that. God, I'm weak. He uses me as a father, mother. But then again, nothing more than a means. Nothing more than a means. God works in our children. He works in our children. And it's true. We seek faithfully by God's grace to teach them, and it's not perfectly, it's faithfully to teach them. And it's true, we get those arrows and we shoot them out of our bow at our children. But it's the Holy Spirit who works in them. And it's the Holy Spirit who makes those means effective, lest those words that we speak are just words hanging in the air. When you and I understand that it is God who works in our children, beloved, that's such rest. We look to Him, trust in Him, depend upon Him alone. God charges parents through Moses here to teach their children, which indicates furthermore that He's pleased to work in the line of generations. That's the Old Testament. That's the Bible. That's Deuteronomy. And that's the text. From generation to generation. Think of Genesis 17, verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. That's so humbling to us as parents. So humbling. This is our covenant God. He's faithful. Jehovah gives us this charge to teach our children. And this we must never forget either. What we teach to them, those truths, are the words in our heart as parents. The verse right before, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The Lord our God is one Lord, is so personal and so real to you as a father and to you as a mother, and that's a truth that lives in you. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. That love of God that is in your heart, you breathe after Him. You see, when these truths are in our heart, when they live in us, there's such a joy and a thankfulness and a gladness in imparting these things to our children. It's difficult and it's full time, but we say, this is my joy. It's in me. And don't ever forget that a part of this truth that is in our heart is redemption. We know that. It's not just to our children that we say, Jesus Christ has redeemed you with his blood. But that's for me as a father, as a mother. And why is that so precious? Because we see so many of our parenting sins. Full time teaching? How many times wasn't I on my phone? How many times wasn't I busy with this and that, and there my children sat and I wasn't teaching them like I ought to have been? And how many times was I busy in the instruction of my children? But I know full well that as a mother, I was just going through the motions. I had a period in my life and it wasn't really genuine. We see our sins and this truth lives in us. Mother, Father, Jesus Christ has redeemed you with his blood. And those sins of parenting covered with that blood. Such a comfort. Listen, parents, to these verses in Micah. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And joy and thankfulness teach your children at all times. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Bless it to us. May we have been taught, warned, encouraged, comforted. Give strength to fathers and mothers in Zion for the task that thou hast given to them. Forgive our sins, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.